of the 105,000 soldiers now preparing to relieve U.S. troops in Iraq. More than a third are reserve forces. Among them are a battalion of New York's National Guard. It is the largest activation in the state since World War II. National Guard soldiers used to sign up for weekends and occasional call-ups for natural disasters, but since September 11, 2001, they've been deployed abroad as well as in the United States, many more than once, to protect bridges, borders, and subways. North Country Public Radio's David Summerstein reports that while most soldiers accept their mission, some of their families are discontent.
In a gravel parking lot at Fort Drum in upstate New York, troops in green camouflage run through drills in a cold rain.
First 6 Squad says, follow me!
Follow me! Stand fast!
In civilian life, these men are teachers, EMTs, architects, electricians, physical therapists, but they've had to leave their jobs and families behind for a year and a half to become full-time infantrymen. Staff Sergeant Stephen Scott is a corrections officer. He says given the news of daily attacks in Iraq, his men are understandably nervous.
In the beginning, I think that they really didn't probably believe that this was what the National Guard was all about. I've heard it said that you're in the National Guard, you're not going to Iraq. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're going. We have no problem with it.
The soldiers approach their new military life with resolve, even mental distance. Staff Sergeant Michael Mader remembers the parade send-off when he left his hometown of Saranac Lake.
The schools emptied, they lined the streets. I actually spotted my son's first grade class, and there he was. You know, that was an emotional moment for me.
He explains if he sounds detached, it's part of the training and part of the sacrifice he's being called on to make. And when asked what he thinks about the mission in Iraq, he says he has to leave his opinions behind, too.
We swear an oath to our Constitution and our Commander-in-Chief, and this is the mission that he's given us, and we will see it through, and we're committed to do the best job we can. And as far as how I might personally feel about one thing or the other, it's really, I guess what I'm getting at, it's irrelevant to what I have to do.
Is that hard for you to make that separation?
No, not really. It's just like a light switch. Just have to do it.
But while Mader and the other soldiers switch off their personal feelings, many of their loved ones are angry about a separation they never bargained for. They're sacrificing a lot. Some wives got a second job to make ends meet. Others had to quit good-paying work to take care of the kids. Many say their families feel off track. And on top of all that, they worry their husbands may not come home at all.
Come on in. Is it okay? My neighbor's here. My aunt stopped by. They all stopped by to see the newborn baby.
A couple hours away from Fort Drum in Saranac Lake, Mader's wife, Ruth, has company over to see her new baby girl. Michael managed a 48-hour visit shortly after the birth. Ruth says she supports her husband, but the military is asking too much this time.
When 9/11 happened, he got activated and he did the airport security and stuff. I was fine with that. I think it just pertains to Iraq. If they wanted us over there and they were happy and grateful that we were over there, I think maybe, and so many men and women weren't dying, I think military families would have a different opinion of the war.
This idea that the degree of violence in Iraq makes this deployment different is widespread among these families. As the violence escalates, more military families are breaking rank. A national group called Military Families Speak Out is leading a call to bring troops home. Walter Shum studies the effect of deployments on military families at Kansas State University.
People are willing to put up with, you know, I think Nietzsche said, any kind of a how as long as they have a why. And so as long as people remain convinced of the value of the mission in Iraq and its importance, I think that'll be a help. If that starts to degenerate and people start thinking maybe it isn't really worth being there, that's going to put more stresses on the marriages.
As it stands, Ruth Mader says it's not worth it. She says she could be more at peace if so many people weren't dying in Iraq.
I mean, I want to see my husband come back alive. So I definitely would feel better about it if they somehow could get the body count down.
Mader says families are bracing themselves. Their husbands, fathers, boyfriends already seem far away, and they haven't even left for the front yet. For NPR News, I'm David Summerstein in Northern New York.